Hello, welcome to this episode of FPL Seb. After a break from a few episodes, game week 12 has just finished now and we're going into game week 13. So let's go straight into the game week review of game week 12. So I had a very good game week. I had 80 points, which put me on a very big green arrow. It was 25 points higher than I needed for a green arrow, so that's put me in the top 3 million now, which is very nice. Higher scoring players, I had the highest scoring goalkeeper. I had Salah, I had Saka, I had Cunha. And then Porro also scored a lot of points, which wasn't very expected as he was playing City, but City have now lost 5 games in a row in all competitions, which is Pep Guardiola's largest streak by, I think, 2 games now. I think before with City, Bayern and Barca, he had only had 3 losses in a row. Now he's had 5, so this isn't usual for City. Pep, so not usual, but yes, Porro ended up getting 14 points, along with Madison getting 16 with his brace. And I think maximum bonus points. Yep. So, yeah, very, very good for Spurs this game week. So Madison's expected goal involvement weren't even 1, and he got 2 goals. So, well done to Madison, both in the first half as well. Porro, he scored a goal and got 2 bonus points. His expected goal involvements were less than half. So, very good for him. So, and then Salah, of course, did very well. So, all the Haaland non-Salah owners definitely didn't benefit from that this week, because Salah scored twice with 2 bonus, giving him a score of 13. So, I'm definitely glad that I brought him in this week. It was quite a while ago since I've done a last episode, but basically, let's go from game week 10. So, game week 9... my team was Flecken, Gabriel, Aitnori, Robinson, Smith Rowe, Mbeumo, Foden, Palmer, Haaland, Delap, Wood, Bench, Henderson, Burn, Onana, Howard, Bellis. Game week 10, I don't think I changed anything. I think it's identical. Let me just double check. Yes. Yep, very contrasting in ranks though. My game week rank for game week 10 was in the 6 millions. But then for game week 9, it was in the 500,000. So, very contrasting there. But anyway, then in game week 11, I think I kept it all the same again before this game week and game week 12, where I had 2 free transfers. I took a minus 4. I brought in Cunha for Haaland. Salah for Onana, the Villa midfielder, not the Man United keeper. And then probably the one I regret doing, because I could have gained, I think, like 3 more points or something. It was to do Burn to Van Dijk, which gained me 1 point. But I could have avoided it and gained 3 more points, because I did a minus 4 as well. But it wasn't. It's 3 points, so it's not the end of the world. It would be preferable to have those 3 points, but it's not that bad. My biggest scores, I had Flecken, of course, with 9 points. Gabriel kept a clean sheet. Salah got Salah captain got 13 doubled, Saka 13, Cunha 16. So I'd say a good week for FPL, definitely. My game week rank, 275,211. So definitely a good week, because that is a very, very, very good game week rank. If I had that in game week 1, I'd be 275,211. I'd be very happy with that. But anyway, instead my rank is 2,613,719, which is a massive gain from the week before, which, here we go. Game week 11, I was 2 million, oh no, that's game week rank. I was 3,864,000 and 39th. So that's over 1 million gained in a week, which I am extremely happy with. So I'm on 2 green arrows in a row. Hopefully that continues going upwards. But let's move on. Let's talk about the essential players in the game at the moment. So, I would say essential. I find it hard. I really find it hard to call many players essential, but I feel like there are some at the moment. I think Saka's probably essential, as he got 13 points last game. But then at the same time, he hadn't returned any of the 2 games before that. So it's not like he's on the best form ever. But still, I feel Saka's pretty essential. Because if you look at his fixtures as well, they are amazing. West Ham, Man United, who I will admit are doing better at the moment. But I still feel Saka will score against them. Because although they are getting defensively better as well, I feel it's still going to be good for Saka in that game. And then Fulham, Everton, Crystal Palace, Ipswich, Brentford, not that nice. Brighton, and then Spurs, Villa, and then it's Wolves City, but then it starts going off. But that's all the way. That's in game week 20. That's in game week 21, I'd say, where it starts to get a bit hard. That's almost 10 game weeks. It's 10 weeks. That's a fifth of a year. So I definitely think, especially with the fixtures coming up for Saka, I would say he is the first essential on our list. Right, number two. I think it's gonna have to be Salah, although the fixtures are nowhere near as nice as Saka's. Although in not too long they get a lot nicer. So, well, I guess they're not horrible. They have Man City next, who haven't been playing very well, but definitely could turn it around. And then Newcastle, Everton, Fulham, and then Spurs, Leicester, West Ham, Man United, Forest, Brentford, Ipswich, Bournemouth, Wolves. So that's after Man City. It's a very nice run of games. Yes, there is teams like Spurs and Man United in there. But I still feel like this could be very, very good for Mo Salah, especially if you look at his form. He scored 13 points last game, 14 the one before, 9 the one before, 10 the one before, 12 the one before. And I think him and Haaland probably, I think he's almost certainly scored more this season, but it's probably very close. Oh no, way more actually. Way further apart. Salah scored 120 this season. Haaland's only on 84. So Salah's definitely been the better pick so far this year, but I still think Haaland, it can turn it around, because the stats are there. If you take let's say the Spurs game, this list gone, his XG was 0.82. That is so likely for Haaland to score with that XG. In the game before, he had 1.38 XG. Yes, he did score still, but that is massive. And then when he only scored one goal against Southampton in game week 9, his XG was over 2. So Haaland is putting up incredible stats. It's just he's not converting them into points. So I think if Haaland can put his shooting boots on, find his form, he will be very good. Haaland's had 62 shots this season. That is 10 more than any other player. And the next up is Anthony Semenyo, who I'm guessing just likes shooting. Because although he has scored, Anthony Semenyo, he has not scored that many. He's 25th highest scorer, so it's not something that's that to something that's super amazing. But then Haaland has had, I think, 22 more shots than Salah this season. That is massive, especially as we're barely 10 game weeks into the season. So I'm not saying Haaland's essential here, but I think Salah is essential, especially as he's 2.5 million cheaper than Haaland. Oh no, he's not anymore. He's risen. He's 2 million cheaper than Haaland. Haaland is definitely not essential. I probably at the moment wouldn't recommend having him, especially at the 15.1 million price tag. But Salah, I would say, is essential. Right, now moving on to another essential. I wouldn't say Palmer is essential, but I kind of, if I'm saying Saka's essential, I kind of have to say Palmer's essential, but it's really hard to have both of them. So let's just go off track a bit. Let's talk about Saka versus Palmer. So Saka has the fixtures. I've already said Saka's fixtures, but I didn't realize this though. Palmer's fixtures are also so good. Okay, let me read them out. Villa, Southampton, Spurs, Brentford, Everton, Fulham, Ipswich, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Wolves, all the way to game week 22. So that's up to Saka's as well. Both okay, so we can ignore fixtures then. Both those players have incredible fixtures. They're both incredible. They're both 3 million cheaper, 2 to 3 million cheaper than Salah, and 4 to 5 million cheaper than Haaland. So that's literally an extra player, 4 to 5 million. You could get 4 to 5 million. You could get who do I? You could get Ait Nouri for that money, and he's a good player. So definitely good because they're cheaper than Haaland, by a lot. But then there is this thing: Saka plays like every 3 days midweek as well. Palmer just has to focus on the Premier League, and he is like the main. I guess Saka's the main person at Arsenal as well. But what I'm trying to say is it's very, very close between them. But I think because of the midweek fixtures, I think I'd lean to Palmer. Because form, they're gonna even out. But at the same time, Saka's just come off a few games not returning. Palmer at the moment is going through a few games not returning. But he had 25 points in game week 6 against Brighton. That is just absolutely insane. So I think it's just extremely hard to go without either of them. I prefer to have both Saka and Palmer probably than Salah. I think I'm saying that. I think I'm definitely saying that. I think, I mean, I'd say probably a very good midfield at the moment would be Salah, Palmer, Saka, Mbeumo, Fernandes. That would be a very good midfield. I'm saying that Salah, Palmer, and Saka are the ones that you really want. And I'm close to saying that Cunha is an essential as well. At less than 7 million, he is doing insanely well. He's barely scored less points than Haaland so far this season. It's less than 10 points between them. And he's come off 12 pointers, 16 pointers. And at the moment, he's on way better form than Haaland. And it doesn't, the run doesn't extend for as long as Haaland's. But these fixtures, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich, Leicester, Man United, and then it goes downhill. But once it goes downhill like that, you can sell him and then bring him back in like game week 27 when it's Fulham, Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Ipswich. If you want to do that, but you don't even have to do that. Just keep him, buy him, keep him for a few weeks, and get the points that he's definitely going to return. I shouldn't say definitely. Now he's just not going to return. But Cunha definitely should be a player that most people have, and I'd almost as he's a differential because Cunha around my rank he's 10% effective ownership. And then Salah's 90. If you're not captaining Salah, that's marginal gains not having him, and that's catastrophic losses. But then if Cunha, that's as much gain having him as a much Salah losses as not having him for 7 million compared to 13 million. I know it's probably very confusing what I just said, but is if Cunha and Salah score the same amount of points. If you have Cunha, not Salah, the rank would your ranks would be even, because, or I mean, for at least my rank, because Cunha has 10% effective ownership, Salah has 90%. It's probably very confusing, but and then Cunha's cheaper, so. And I'm saying that Cunha can keep up with at least half, probably comfortably over half of Salah's points, for the re for at least a few game weeks, and he is under half a bit, just a bit over half of Salah's price. So I definitely think, not definitely, but I'd say Cunha is a very good option as well, and almost in the essential category. Not quite almost, but I'm gonna say very strongly recommend him. Right, moving on now, let's look at the City players, as they have lost 5 games in a row, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. Pep's longest run by a significant amount in his managerial history. So I think there's no other place to start than Haaland, is there? Yeah, definitely not recommending him, but if you have him, if you have Haaland and Salah, I'm not selling Haaland. If you have Haaland, no Salah, I'm selling Haaland. Because Haaland's fixtures, they're mid as well. So I don't know. I don't know. But so Haaland, 15 million, not the best fixtures. Form rubbish. Highest price ever in FPL. Really unattractive. The only thing that's possibly leaning me towards him is the fact that over 100% of teams have it's over 100% effective ownership, which basically means that everyone has him and some people have captained him, which obviously isn't true because I don't have him, but it obviously means that like half the game have him and half the game captained him, or some for example something like that, which is a lot more closer to what it actually is, but. Haaland, I don't think I'd be selling because he's gonna just score loads of points soon enough, but I'm definitely not buying. Nowhere near buying. Maybe keeping if you already have Salah and your team's in a good state. But then if you have Salah and Haaland, you're not gonna have both Saka and Palmer, so I'm finding it very hard to give reasons why to have Haaland at the moment. So, yeah, generally, if you have Haaland, just sell him. Don't buy him. That's not a good idea. And then other City players, Guardiola, I guess. Let's talk about him. He's a lot more interesting. I'm still not buying. Not buying, but well, mainly I'm not buying mainly because I don't think City have kept more than one clean sheet this season, maybe scraping two, one, no, one clean sheet this season against Southampton. So defenders for City are not the way to go, but the only reason I might stick with Guardiola is the attacking, because he has scored a lot of attacking points this season. He how many goals he's scored? 3 goals, and has got a number of assists. I think two assists, one or two assists, one or two assists, maybe three. I can't find him. Can't find him in the assists. I cannot see him. Has he just not been assisting? Has he just been scoring? Well, no, he has 0 assists. Okay, 3 goals still. That's good for a defender. But then last game, his expected goal involvements was nearly one. It was basically 0.9, and he got no points whatsoever. So I think with Guardiola, it's a bit different to Haaland because he's a bit more affordable. Okay, so Guardiola, keeping, not buying or selling. Okay, so don't think there's okay, any other City players, sell, not necessary. If you have Rico Lewis, just keep him on your bench, and because it's not worth selling a 4.0 million defender. Like, there's pretty, I'm almost certain there's better 4.0s than Howard Bellies, but I've just had him since my wild card, and it's really not worth selling a 4.0 defender. He just sits last up on my bench every week. So that is the City players section. Right, let's move on and talk about Spurs, as they are doing pretty well, and there are some very attractive picks from their team, because they're not winning every game, but the players are doing well. Let's start off with Brennan Johnson. So Brennan Johnson, he scored a goal in the last game. He had over one expected goal involvement against City as well. He didn't get anything in their loss against Ipswich, but then he got 8 points against Villa, 11 points against Man United. So he's doing pretty well, especially under 7 million. It's not budget under 7 million, but it's affordable. Let's say under 7 million, it's affordable, but not budget, because budget is like 5 million and under. So, but yeah, Johnson is definitely a very good option. So Spurs is fixtures. So this is just getting out of the way. Fulham, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Southampton, Liverpool, Nottingham Forest, Wolves, Newcastle, Arsenal, Everton, Leicester, Brentford. So it's generally good fixtures, but with like Liverpool and Arsenal, Chelsea dotted in there. So then you could, if you're getting someone like Brennan Johnson, you could then go and look, oh, what teams do Spurs rotate well with? Well, so for the next, for Spurs, rotate their fixtures best with West Ham, Wolves, Southampton, Leicester, Man United, and Arsenal. So let's say you're getting Porro, Johnson. So you could get like a Wolves forward, Cunha, for example, as well as Johnson. They could rotate. Man United, you could get a Man United defender like Dalot, maybe, because they're doing better now. Arsenal, don't really recommend anyone but Saka. It's too rotation risky, or Odegaard, not really worth the price anymore. So yeah, but like Cunha, Strand Larsen, Dalot, for example, those kind of players, they would rotate well with Tottenham, because they would have very good fixtures. So you could get like a Johnson and one of them. But then if you go a bit more expensive, you hit Son Heung-min. He is very good, but I don't think he's worth I don't think he's much better option than Porro for points, and he's a lot cheaper. Not Porro, sorry, Johnson. I'll get onto Porro later, but now I'd say the top Spurs midfielder to get, by far, oh, miles and miles away of the rest, James Maddison. He is 7.5 million, so yes, just that bit more expensive than Johnson. But then he's doing way better than both of Son and Johnson. He got 16 points last game against City with a brace. I said that earlier. But then even in their losses against like Brighton, he's still getting 10 points with a goal and three bonus. And he just seems like one of those players who's just going to swoop up the bonus. Like, he's not had a single game this season where it hasn't been three or nothing bonus. So any returns, he's getting three bonus, it seems, as well. So, because of his creativity, because as he's a midfielder, he like does a lot of like passing and stuff, and like completed passes gets bonus points, which means he is just one of those bonus points magnets, and I won't be surprised if he's just gonna be like getting a single point if it's like a nil-nil, even ahead of some defenders. So Maddison, by far the best Spurs midfielder if you're going for one. I haven't really said about like if you should get any Spurs midfielders though. So Spurs midfielders, I would definitely say they're a good option, especially Maddison. Their fixtures are up and down, but you could rotate, as I said. And you can still play through fixtures like Liverpool and Arsenal. It's just you won't be getting as many points, but you'll still be getting a good amount of points. So I definitely think that Maddison should be a good pick. I'm putting him, when I did the essentials earlier, I'm putting him just below Cunha as a very good option, but not essential. And now let's talk about Porro. So he has been absolutely rubbish before last game week. People like he was like a most benched player or something last week, and he got like 16 points, I think. So he is very interesting. I wouldn't be buying him, but or would I? Because their fixtures aren't terrible. He's only 5.5. I might buy him, maybe. Especially, well, yeah, he's been doing pretty well. He got an assist last game, but Spurs aren't keeping clean sheets. I think they've had like two all season, or maybe Man City had a few more then. I'm not sure, but it might have been a few more than one. But anyway, yeah, they've not kept that many clean sheets. They got one against City, they got one against Man United, and they got one against Everton. That's all the clean sheets that Spurs have had so far this season. But then Porro is very good for attacking, and he's not even in the 6 million defenders category. So, I'm saying you can buy him, but not essential buy. Definite keep though. The City have had two clean sheets all season. They had one against Southampton, and they also kept one against Chelsea first game of the season. But that's irrelevant now. It's done, City. City are done for now. But yeah, Porro, keep, optional buy. If money's a problem, sell. But definitely not a recommended essential sell. Right, let's now go to Bruno Fernandes. So he's interesting. United new manager and everything, they're having that boost, but will it fade out? Is this new isn't is it just the new manager boost that will just die out in 2 game weeks' time? So Bruno, and also Fernandes is 8.5 million. That's Foden and Palmer and Saka territory. So it's just edging there. Not quite, but it's edging up to that. So Bruno Fernandes, it's a really, really hard one with him, because United are having that new manager boost, and they're not with Ten Hag anymore. But at the same time, it's still not, they're still not amazing. And yeah, I guess Rashford as well might be an option if you want. But well, let's is Rashford playing at the moment? I do need to check that. But Bruno Fernandes, he is, it's a price, 8.5 million. But he is getting points with the new manager. Rashford is definitely playing. He got a goal and a bonus last game. Yeah, and he's less than 7 million. So yeah, mate, I think this might be a bounce back for Rashford. You know, this might be a bounce. This is where Rashford's coming back, and yeah, bold prediction. Rashford is gonna have a very, very good season with the new manager, and he's gonna be way better than Fernandes, and he's gonna be like the player to own, and like everyone has him. Bold prediction could come true. But anyway, last game he didn't get anything against Ipswich, but then he had 17 and 10, both since Ten Hag have been sacked. So Yeah, I see it's a similar one with Porro, I'd say, for Fernandez. Optional buy, don't keep and sell if money's a problem. Yeah, I'd say same as Porro. That was a very short section, I know, but we can now move on to the differential. I ha didn't have a differential for the last few weeks because it hasn't been a pod, but my differential for this week is interesting option. So I've spoken about Cunha a lot to in this podcast, but there is another Wolves forward, very lowly owned, I think like 2% or something. I think I mentioned him once in the pod. Well done if you spotted it. And if you haven't guessed it already, it is Strand Larsen. Strand Larsen. So obviously, he plays for Wolves, has those very good fixtures that Cunha has, and he is significantly cheaper than Cunha. He's 5.6 million compared to Cunha's 6.8. That is a difference of, if I calculate it, 6.8 minus 5.6. It's a 1.2 million difference right there. That is significant. That is the difference between, I don't know. Eight Nori and Gabriel, although they're both good options. Howard Belis and Pedro Porro. That's significant upgrade. I was just looking at the players in my team, just thinking this at the defenders section. So, yeah, differential of the week, Strand Larsen. So I guess it's for the week. So fixture Bournemouth, and let's just talk about his recent form. Strand Larsen. So he got 5 points last game with just an assist. So pretty good. 2 points the last game, 8 points the last game, 1 point the game before. So his form on the on the fantasy side is 5.0. So that's like 5 points per average per game for the last few games. So it's like he's expected to get like 5 points for the next game or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, that will still be pretty good for 5.6 million. But yeah, I think he could be pretty good. I'm not sure how he lines up against Cunha. I don't know if they're playing like two strikers or if one of them plays in behind as a number 10. Let me look there at the bottom. They're W. So I think, yeah, Strand Larsen plays central and Cunha plays wide. Yep. So, I mean, for the main striker as well, I guess. Yeah, so I guess that could be very, very good, especially if he is the main striker. So there we go. Differential of the week, Strand Larsen. All right, so now I'm going to talk about my team and my transfer plans. Not as long as usual this section. My team is just going to stay the same. Not planning to do any transfers this week. But if we go on to the pick team section on it, I'm going to line up with so substitutions from last week. I think I will do so. Delap in, I think, for Smith Rowe. Smith Rowe goes first sub ahead of Robinson, I think I'll do. And then I think I might put the captaincy on. I think I'll go with Saka this week. It's a toss-up between him and Palmer. But it's possible I could go up with. Could go with a differential captain like Cunha or Mbeumo in the end because Mbeumo is playing Leicester at home. So, my team at the moment for next week will be Flecken in goal. He has been very good for me. It used to be Henderson as my starting keeper, but now it's moved to Flecken. It just takes one thing to shift one over the other, and that keeper just stays there for ages. They're both pretty good. But anyway, then it's Gabriel, Eight Nori, and Virgil van Dijk in defence. Palmer, Mo Salah, Saka, and Mbeumo in midfield. That is a brilliant midfield, in my opinion. That is just a very nice midfield. And Delap, Cunha, and Wood up top. So, yes, Saka captain as well. I think I'll put my vice captain on Cunha for now. So that's my team, and I think this can end the podcast for this week. So thank you for listening, and do not forget about the FPL Sub League. And for the first time, we have had someone join it. It is Theo Hobbs. He's my friend. But it would be nice to have some more people still. So I can't say the thing of no one's joined yet. But it's still nice to, it's better to have more than two people in a league, because I'm already in a league with him. So it still join. Please join. The code is HL8WGW. Again, HL8WGW. Enter that in and you will join the league. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next one. Goodbye.